This is Tom Trbojevic, fullback for the Manly Warringah Seagulls, and you're listening to the Supercoach Champions Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions Podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. I am joined by someone who really ran it hard this weekend, provided massive impact off the bench, came off the back fence. It is the 2021 champion, Timmy Moody, fresh off an epic magic round, mate. How are you? Are you alive?
Mate, I'm alive. Did take a lot of strong carries, but you know, you were leading by example, and I think that's just what I need, is someone just to show a little bit of leadership and allow me to follow along. So I was really impressed by your game. You've got game for sure, Wilf. I really appreciate everything you did for myself and all the rest of the champs. You bought a hell of a lot of beers, some really lovely food. You bought my bloody ticket. What else can I say? I had a really good weekend thanks to you, man. So thank you. It's probably one of the best weekends I've had in a bloody long time.
Mate, it was great to have you come to Magic Round, obviously, and join us. Obviously, you know, not the first time we've met, but great to actually, you know, kind of let our hair down.
Oh, yeah.
And cut in. Look, I have to say, you know, it's always fun chatting with you, but hanging out with you in person, whole new experience. I think I'd have to say for the champions, you'd be up there for Dally M. You know, all 6 points, maybe MVP of the Magic Round. I don't know, it's up there. But I think I had a blast. A lot of people had a blast. Sounds like you had a blast. That's the important thing. So
yeah, it was the best. Look,
having said that, you know, Supercoach, it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it does.
We're going to jump straight into it, obviously. So winding down, getting back into Supercoach mode with some number crunching. So we'll dive straight into that. All right. So this week I'm looking at the 5/8 position because I think we're really getting to the stage of the season where there's a few that have really stood up. And I think I like to think I've got two of those guys in my team. And I mean, who are you running at the moment at 5/8?
I got Dillbags and Katoa just sort of hanging out next to him. I was really impressed with what I saw from Katoa over Magic Round. Obviously scored a try. I believe he set one up too. He just looked quite lethal compared to taking a back seat like he has most of the season. So I think he's sort of starting to get a bit of confidence, and I'm thinking I'm going to hold on to him until at least round 13. I think he might be able to provide me enough and not be worth the trade. But if over the next 2 weeks he doesn't really show more than what he did at Magic Round, I probably will try and move him on to, I think you've got Cody and Latrell. Cody and Brownie, do you?
Yeah, I've got the Cody and Dillbags combo. Cam Munster's a guy I don't have. So look, I think so far, if you look at the list of 5/8 so far, those three appear to be the real standouts. So I thought let's dive into it and see how they measure up numbers-wise. So kicking it off, look, Cam Munster, you know, we came into the season, most of us felt that he was going to be the number one averaging Supercoach 5/8 at least come end of year, sitting at a price tag of 775-100, breaking even 68. Looking at his base, you know, one thing that Munster's always had is high involvement and just really, really safe floor. That's still the case in 2023. He's averaging 45.9 points per game just in his base and base attack, which, you know, again, that's huge. Tackles, less missed tackles, hit-ups, tackle busts, and offloads. For someone like Munster, you know, he does get to do some short area kicking and stuff like that, so I don't include forced dropouts, but that's also an area of his game. He's even got a 40-20 this year, which is, you know, it's not the normal thing for money. But look, he's been very, very solid. He's scored 4 tries. He's got only 5 try assists in 7 games this year, which is very low for him. Mm. And he's got 3 try contributions. Other major attacking stats include 6 line breaks and 2 line break assists. So on the whole, Munster has actually been, I'd have to say, actually underwhelming from a number standpoint. Which is scary, right? Because despite all of that, he's still churning out a 77.1 average to be the
Wow.
The highest averaging of the three Supercoach 5-8s that I'm about to talk about. So, yeah, look, he's obviously been really good. He has missed a few games due to injury, but, you know, you can never plan for injuries there. But if he runs out for you, he's going to deliver a really safe floor. I still stand by. I think he's going to be the number one averaging 5-8 come end of season, but it's obviously tricky to navigate Origin and stuff like that. Because, you know, we know he's like probably the first name on the team list for Queensland. Yeah. So, I mean, do you see yourself ending the season with Munster? Like, is that going to be your priority? Is that what your plan is with Qatar?
Potentially. I'm not too sure if, look, I do have Dill Brown. I may, if, as I said, if Katoa doesn't sort of show me that he could do a little bit more than the 40s and 50s over the next couple of weeks, I might try and move him on. Cody's might be a bit out of my price range. It's a big jump from Katoa to him. So that might be unrealistic to do before Origin. I could end up looking at at someone else, like an Ezra Mam or something like that. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I think ideally Munster would be someone I'd like to finish with, but I just obviously it'd be an after Origin thing.
I think for me, I've kind of just like very preliminary plans when I first picked up Cody Walker was I was going to just go Cody to Munster at the right time or like Cody down to someone else and eventually get Munster post Origin. But yeah, it's kind of up in the air because you look at his draw through the Origin period, right? So assuming he backs up in round 14, he'll play the Cowboys. Then round 15 is the Sharks. Now, 16, he won't play because that's Origin 2. Then round 17, if he backs up, he'll play the Seagulls. Round 18 is the Panthers. So there's a couple of tough matchups in between those Origin periods. And then round 19 is game 3 plus also a bye. Round 20 is the Roosters. And then, yeah, look, he's got some easier matchups towards the back end, like the Knights, the Eels right now are leaking plenty of points, but they might be better by then. The Raiders aren't they're unpredictable. Then there's Dragons, Titans, and there's also the Panthers and the Broncos in the mix at the back end of the season, which, I mean, depends.
A mixture, yeah.
It's very mixed. And Broncos is around 27, so this, depending on the ladder positions and stuff like that, the Storm might be in a position to rest games. Like it's a bit of an unknown there. So I wouldn't, you know, like Munster's not really a guy I worry about the draw about because he's got such a good floor. So I think for me, most likely, I'm still going to get Munster in post-Origin. It's just about, you know, maybe targeting that round 21 matchup against the Knights could be the play.
Yep.
Next name on the list here is Dylan Brown. So sitting at 750-700, so the cheapest of the three right now. Break even of 6, though, so he's going up, basically. So Munster's floor is 45.9. Dillbags is 44.5, so really close to Munster. And the thing with Brown is quite interesting. He's only scored one try himself, but he's got 13 try assists, 4 try contributions, 5 line breaks and 7 line break assists on the way to an average of 73.7. So he's been good, right? He's been a little bit disappointing, but he's really stood up the last couple of weeks in particular back-to-back tons. And this is after, I think when I got him in, he had like three rounds in a row of basically just 60s.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Solid without doing anything too impressive. But then, yeah, 2 massive rounds the last 2 games. And then round 11, he's got the Raiders and then Bunnies next week. So there's a mixed draw leading up to Origin, and we know about how good his bye period is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, if there's a buy planning must, like, I put Dylan Brown in that basket. Like, you and I both have him. Do you think he's a priority for people who don't have Dillbags this week to jump on before he gets more expensive?
I was saying yesterday to a few people that I think he's potentially a must-have, and I don't usually like to use the term must-have at all because I think it's overused. But, I think he could be. But then again, his ceiling's not massive. But if he can sort of pop out consistent, like 80s to 100s, which I think he's more likely to sort of get, maybe more so to the 80 sort of mark, it's very handy to have those sorts of players in your side, especially when you get a few of them. All you need is a few of them and it adds up and you're, you know, beating other teams. It depends on the amount of power players you have, though. Like if you've got spread around or if you've got quite a few Knights and also a few Manly players, yeah, you could hold off a little. I was thinking you could potentially wait on, if you don't want to grab him right now with the low BE and because of whatever reason, maybe he's a bit out of reach, he'll go up a little bit. But if you were to sort of maybe wait to round 15 after he has the the buy in round 14. It might be a better pickup then as well. So that's another option. If you're not, if you're stressing about, oh, do I do it now? I need to do it now. But you've got bigger fish to fry. You could probably wait till round 15.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, honestly. I mean, round 14 is their first buy for the season. The next one is in round 18. And a bit of a killer is that he will miss round 27. That's when the Eels have their final buy.
Yeah.
And even the three rounds leading up to it, so round 24, Broncos, round 25, Roosters, round 26, Panthers. So it's a brutal end of season for the Eels. So, yeah, I do feel like he's great for now, but maybe at the back end of the year, you're either hopefully trading him out or maybe you're parking him on the bench for a couple of those games potentially. So, yeah, look, having said that, I definitely have him in the, I guess, you know, I'm like you. I don't like to throw around the term must-have, but he's pretty close to it for me over this buy period. That brings us to the last guy here. So Cody Walker, 799-400, break-even of 87. His base and base attack is just 30.9, so that's a sharp drop. But, gosh, it's hard to argue with the output, isn't it? He's just in the mix there all the time with attacking stats. But, I mean, you know, he's pretty much giving up 13/14 points per game just in base attack to those other two guys. So he needs an extra try assist or a try pretty much every game just to keep up.
Yeah, there's been some games I've watched him as a non-owner and sort of checked the scores and noticed he was on like sort of 21 or 30 with a little bit to go. And I'm like, this is awesome. I need him to stay low. It's a, you know, massive thing for, you know, him to stay low and to try and catch up to some of these guys ahead with him. But then in the last, you know, 10 minutes, he just bangs on a couple of try assists or whatever and seems to get there anyway. So, yeah, he's someone I'd really like to have. I don't know whether it's going to happen for my side, but, I think it'd be great to have both of them over this period. I really don't think he's going to get an Origin call-up despite being in great form. It's obviously Nico and Jerome ahead of him, so it'd be weird for them to pick him, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to round that out, 7 tries, 11 try assists, 4 try contributions, 5 line breaks, and 13 line break assists in 10 games.
The numbers are there.
The numbers are definitely there, and that's why he's obviously keeping pace. He's averaged 73.5, but I think the main thing is that he's averaged 92.6 over the last 5 rounds,
which is
coincidentally when I picked him up. So good timing on my part.
Very nice.
Sometimes you just got to be lucky, but anyway. We do want to thank our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant.
Got to meet Carl on the weekend. What a legend Carl is. If you had any doubts about doing your tax with Carl, don't have any doubts. I met him in person. I shook his hand. I'm switching over to him this year. And I've had my accountant for probably close to 12, 13 years. He's the same guy. So it's time to swap sides for me.
That's that's high praise. You can't really... There's nothing better than a personal recommendation from a champ here. So good on you, Tim. Thanks for shouting out Carl there. So get in touch with him. It's not quite tax time, but we're getting close to it. He's going to be able to help you do your tax return and legally maximize your tax refund. So whether it's just a basic tax return or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading, even crypto, Carl can help you out, make sure it's all lined up properly. It doesn't matter where you are in Australia, Carl can give you a hand. He can use FaceTime, Zoom. He can help anyone no matter where you happen to be. Some of Carl's clients he's actually never met in person, even though actually they live in the same suburb. So distance certainly is not an issue. And Carl, he's a small business owner. He does it all himself. So that means he's got very few overheads and he can pass on the savings to his clients. So as always, he's wanting us to let everyone know it's a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners, $99 for a basic tax return. Or if you don't have a basic one, he'll look after you with price. And as always, he wants us to remind those clients that he has already jump into the listener competition and win $99 credit towards your tax return. So for most of those people, that'll be a free tax return for this year, which is pretty handy indeed. Anyway, that's enough number crunching. We'll jump over to our captaincy.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, so last round was a bit of a disaster for plenty of us, given that we captained possibly our lowest scorer in Nico Hines in many of our 17s. You know, Nico was by far and away the most popular choice, and he churned out, I think it was a 40 for about over 40% of the competition, which is massive at this stage of the season. So it goes to show if you had the stones to be able to take a risk like yourself there, Tim. I know you skipped on.
Yeah, it didn't really pay off too much. I did skip it. It was just the two little contributors where Brent Savage was killing it this year, convinced me that Teddy was going to, you know, this was his week to really go off. So I like the idea of having my captain on Teddy, but also the idea of VCing Nico just because of the fact it was Bennett's 900th game. I thought the Dolphins would lift. I didn't think that they would smash them like they did. So that was awesome for Wayne Bennett and a, you know, well-deserved win for the Dolphins. I think it's probably a bounce-back week for Hinesy boy. He wants that Blues jersey desperately. He does look like the standout, right?
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I crunched the numbers on how far and ahead of everyone else that Nico was. So I definitely still think he's, for me, he's still an every-week pick, either for at least a vice captaincy or most likely a captaincy for sure. So, no, I'm pretty comfortable sticking with that at the moment. But let's start with the potential vice captains here. I mean, the first early games, you got the Storm, the Broncos, then the Bulldogs and Warriors, then the Panthers and Roosters being the Thursday and Friday games. So I guess, you know, Munster's got to be in the reckoning there for a potential vice captaincy. Yep. Storm have a fantastic record against the Broncos. It doesn't matter how good the Broncos are going. The Storm have always found a way to potentially go 30, 40 points on them. And I've experienced this firsthand multiple times at Suncorp Stadium, so not fun.
Yeah, there's some big scores just looking back on it. Last one was like 60 to 12. There's 32 to 20, 40 to 12, 40 to 6, 46 to 8. So yeah, some pumpings by the Storm.
You can stop now, mate.
Thank you.
Sorry,
brother.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm very aware of it.
Maddie will like it, though.
Yeah, of course he does. But yeah, look, I think Munster's a fantastic vice captain if you have him in your team. So for me, Cleary's not a vice captaincy option because I'd lean towards Hines. Yep. If you wanted to play a little bit cute, though, you could vice captain Cleary and maybe look at captaining Latrell. Or if you wanted to go super risky, there's Cody Walker there as well, or even like Alex Johnston really going hard at that Bunnies versus Tigers matchup on the Saturday. So I think the percentage play, the real safe option is to stick with Nico and then maybe vice-captain Latrell. But yeah, I definitely think there's some merit to the straight C on Latrell.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I don't have him, yeah. So I think that's a really juicy one. There's a lot of good players, I think, that would be vice-captains or even captains this round that I don't have. So it's very feeling vanilla for my options here. But yeah, I don't mind the Cleary one. Obviously, he was a great captain last week going against Hines for people who did that. The Roosters, I've got a lot of respect for. I just always see them as the authority, the big boys, the sombrero boys. And, you know, on paper, they just look impossible to beat all the time. But they've just been so un-Roostery. And I can say, to be fair, they like this a lot at the start of the season. I think that maybe, I've been up having, you know, too much Penrith goggles on. I think maybe Penrith might do a job on them unless Roosters really decide to change gears and start playing for each other. But I really do like Latrell. That's a great option. So even as a VC, Latrell, Captain Hines, that's a beautiful thing too.
Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, if you want to have a VC or a C on either of, you know, any of the Bunnies players, honestly, it's probably not a bad shout. The Cody or AJ or any other guy except Latrell is going to be a little bit riskier. I think Latrell's probably the safer option. Like, he didn't have a great game, I guess, or involvement-wise by his standards last week. He still managed 55, which worst-case scenario, if that's what he churns out, like, you'd be disappointed, but you wouldn't be devastated like a Nico 40 was for last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting week for captains. I definitely think there's a couple of other risky ones you can take with, like, say, a Dave Fifita. Yeah, I think he's always a shout, given he's late in the round. And the only thing I will say is because the Bunnies play at home and Fifita's away, Nico is away, and Munster's at home as well. So, and also Cleary. So those are the three guys that I kind of, you know, I tend to like going for a home team captain.
The Battle of the Beaches with Manly and Cronulla. You know, I think Manly, I've sort of been thinking they're an easier side. They let a lot of points in, although they've got some good attack when they play well. I don't know whether the 4 points thing makes me a little bit sort of doubt it a bit. I have to look at their history. Do they have a weird... No, so it feels like the Sharks have put on quite a few points against them. They scored 40 to 6, 34 to 22. They lost 22 to 40 to Manly one game, and then it's 40 to 22 another time, and that 40 to 22 was at Four Pines. So, and yeah, the 40-6 was as well. So that maybe, yeah, look, I think it'd be fine. Nico's probably the safe option. It might haunt a few people from last week and they might feel a bit dirty on him, so they'll want to do something else. But yeah, I think he's probably the guy this week, especially with Origin looming. I think he's going to really try to stamp his flag in that Blues number 6 jersey.
That's what I was hoping for last week, right? And in front of the Magic Brown crowd and all that, but didn't turn out that way. Look,
imagine the speech that Wayne Bennett would have had to those guys. It wouldn't have been not much. He wouldn't even mention his 900th game. But, you know, the team leaders would have got around probably quietly with him away, or even maybe while he was in the room, and really sort of said how, you know, important it is. And the Dolphins have showed that they can defend quite well. So Manly, not as much.
So right now, as it stands on Wednesday, Nico's sitting at 40.2% captaincy. Nathan Cleary's next at 13.9%. Latrell's at 5.2%. Cody Walker, 2.3%. Walsh, 2.2%. Dave Fifita, 2.1%. And yeah, Teddy, 1.9%. Haas, 1.8%. Grant, 1.6%. Munster, 1.5%. So pretty much anyone after Hines and Cleary is already kind of a little bit pottish. So yeah, food for thought, obviously. All right, let's. I think that's enough chat there. We'll have a quick break.
Big thanks to our friends over at Manscaped for supporting this episode. If you don't already know, the global leaders in the below-the-waist grooming aren't just going gold this season, they're going platinum. You heard that right. Manscaped has taken their signature performance package 4.0 to the moon with the upgraded Platinum package, with products ranging from shower goods to ball care. This is their sleekest, sexiest, and smoothest bundle yet. It's time to go platinum and join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS. The Manscaped Platinum 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. A package unlike any we've had before. So whether you're new or a seasoned Manscaped vet, there's something for you. Inside this Platinum package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, brand new Weed Whacker, 2.0 ear and nose trimmer, ultra premium body wash, ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, ultra premium deodorant, crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant, crop reviver, ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxes, and the shed traveling bag to hold your goods in while traveling. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with an ultra premium body wash and ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to the Platinum Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxes and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxes to another level. The Platinum 4.0 covers all bases from head to toe. The best bang for your shebang. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code CHAMPIONS. Get a taste of the finer things in life with Manscaped.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
All right, so as we get closer and closer to the start of the rep period, the bye period, I wanted to talk a little bit more about what to do about guys who are going to play Origin, right? So Harry Grant, Nathan Cleary, Payne Haas, a lot of guys who you'd think are locked in to play Origin.
Yeah.
And they're also killing it in Supercoach and, you know, like top of their position. Mm. So let's start at the top. Harry Grant's the guy, like he's obviously really, really popular and for good reason, you know, he's just been killing it all season. A little bit disappointing last week, but if disappointing is him scoring 54 and, you know, not getting attacking stats, I'll take that any day of the week. So all that said, is he going to stay in your team over Origin?
This one I'm on the fence about. I think I'm probably leaning towards potentially selling him as close to 13 as possible if I do sell him, just so I can have him for as many other weeks, you know, prior to selling. I just feel like he might be easier to get back than the likes of Cleary for me, who I won't want to sell. I don't mind the look of chucking Jeremy Marshall King or the Cowboys, what's his name?
Robson. Yeah, Robson. Reese Robson's my guy.
Yeah, I don't mind him as well. Potentially even, I'd have to have a closer look at it, but Wade Egan, he was quite good at the start of the season, popping out hundreds and scoring nearly in every game he played for fun. So a little bit of HIA issues there. I don't really have any Warriors in my side yet, so I might look that way. It might just depend on the prices and whatever come around 13 and also looking at the form. But I think I could sell him, but I would also like to hold him if I can still field a decent 13 outside of selling him. So, yeah, a bit up in the air. I don't think it's a wrong or right thing to do on that one, where I'm a bit more firm. You wouldn't sell Cleary.
Yeah, it's very team specific. I lean towards being able to hold him if possible. I mean, just thinking about last year when they had a very good backup hooker and Brandon Smith, Harry still played most games. So, you know, he missed round 12. So that's before Origin. And then he backed up, played round 14, played 15, played 16. And then missed, 17 was game 3. And then he backed up, played round 18, played the full 80. So to me, that says Harry's going to be most likely. Yeah. He's going to be there, especially if the Storm aren't going as well.
Big time, so yeah.
I'm pretty comfortable with being able to hold him. And the other.
Do you have a second hooker?
Not yet, but I will. I'm, like I said, Reece Robson's my guy. I'm pretty clearly set on targeting him.
Who have you got there currently?
Sonny.
Yeah, me too. So I just feel like he's going to be hard to move on. He's so low in price, and it's going to be probably at least a 280 to 350K price jump. Yeah, I just thought it might be easier just to swap Harry out and then swap him back in, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, for me, like I think, because especially as I run lower on trades, I want to be able to, I like to try balance with depth. So if I can rather pick up a guy who covers the buys and just hold him for the rest of the season, so that if Harry goes down injured later in the year, I don't have to burn a trade, replacing him. Yep. I can just roll out someone else instead.
And wait for Harry to come back or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's it. And just hold and try survive without Harry. Because I guess, if you've got trades in hand, you can jump to the next best option or whatever. But if I've got one of the next best options already, I'm happy just to kind of hold him like that.
Did you get Booger?
I did.
So you've got a bloody whole bunch of bank going on. No wonder you're just starting to make big plans like this. I think that's why Bull was a good move for some teams there, because it does allow you to make some big decisions moving other stuff around. Well played, sir.
We'll move to the next, origin question, which is Payne Haas. Obviously, so many people have him. I'm actually lucky, maybe. Lucky's not the right word. I'm stupid enough to not have him, so I don't have to worry about trading him out. Look, having said that, if you had Payne Haas, do you lick him?
50-50 on this one again. These are the reasons. I think you trade a prop out and then you trade another prop in, and then the other prop starts going reasonably enough okay. You're going, oh, he's still getting me 60, 70. Occasionally he gets 80 or whatever, and you go, I'll just run him instead. But then Payne Haas might come back and start popping out, 85s. To hundreds, which I don't know, he can put that on post-origin. Sometimes he's sort of better in the start of the year and sort of falls off towards the back end with minutes and stuff as well towards the back end of the season. So that's why I could get around selling him. He does have a lot of value there. There's some pretty good options to go to as well. People have already got Horse. There's still Tapine. A lot of people don't have. What's his face? Who's scored 96 last week from the Warriors? Tohu, yes. Yeah, look, it's been a long weekend and my voice is nearly gone and so is my mind. So, So I really like Tohu as a round 13 pickup. I was almost going to pick him up this week, but just thought because of, three injuries this year, he's haunted us in the past for Supercoach around this period. But, there's definitely other options that I think that could match Payne Haas, maybe even beat him over the next so many weeks before and after Origin. So I don't mind selling him.
I think that's a pretty good summary. Like, I agree. Like, I can see people jumping on Tohu this week if they wanted to, as long as they can cover round 12, because he'll be in the bye next week. Yep. But to me, it makes most sense. Just get him around 13. You don't have to worry about surviving 1 week without injury and then not have to cover the bye. I do think with Payne, it's hard because if you look at last year, right, he did play, but there was limited minutes there. There was reduced output because he was carrying multiple AC joint injuries, like one in his shoulder, basically. So it's not the truest measure, I don't think. So I tend to think, because he's already playing lower minutes than he was last year, so I kind of think he's going to be okay to back up most weeks. he might sometimes, you know, if the Broncos are still traveling well, he'll get the early shower like he did last week.
Yeah, a few 40-minute games I can see, like potentially. I know that's massive unders, but especially if they're winning the game quite comfortably, just get him off. You know what I mean? If it's a quick early 30 to something smash, he's been working hard over the Origin, get him off. The thing is that Broncos are in a higher position in the ladder. They can probably afford to do it. But then the other argument is, you know, when he was out with the suspension the other week, they really did miss him. So maybe Kevy's noticed that and thought, look, we probably need to be making the most out of him. You know, this is a good season for us to genuinely have a crack at winning the season. But, yeah, it's hard to know how you balance Payne Haas and, you know, for a first-grade coach, that is.
I tend to think a lot of it will come down to how he's being rotated, because right now there are times where I think last week, for example, he played the full first half and then the first 15 minutes of the second half straight. And then he went off, didn't come back on. Whereas sometimes he'll go off, like he'll play 15 minutes straight, go off for, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20, and comes back on for a little
bit. Yeah, I think where he's been most lethal is his second stint in the back end of a game too, when players are tired. That's when he was sort of, you know, doing those line breaks and line break assists, and I think even a couple of try assists as well. So, yeah, if he was sort of playing the first 40 and he's a big worker, he takes plenty of runs, plenty of tackles, there's probably other blokes out there that could get that with a bit less stress, and at least you know they're on the field. It's annoying when you know that your guy's not coming on with about 25 minutes to go. That can be quite annoying.
Tough. Yeah, the only thing I will throw in there is to, like I don't think there's a definitive sell or hold for Payne. It will come down to your team. Like if you've got, you know, you've set up your team that you've got the depth. For example, you can bench Haas and still roll out like Tarpane and Tohu in the front row.
Yeah, especially if you're someone who might have Tarpane, say, at prop and Tohu at second row, where you can interchange, you know, with the duels and swap them around to cover each other over different periods and stuff like that, or even other duels in that position, that'd be a handy thing as well.
Yeah, so I think if your team can handle that and then you're okay just to hold Payne through that period.
He will become more pottish for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think so. So I can see a lot of people selling him, and I can get around that. Like if you potentially in round 13 trade out Payne and downgrade him to Tohu Harris and free up like 150K, that could definitely happen, and that, you know, be a pretty good trade. So, yeah, I guess in summary, I think we're both in the same boat. Like it's going to be team specific. Depends how well you can, you know, cover that depth. Yeah. And depends how.
So I guess if you're listening to this conversation, it's kind of like if you're sitting there going, oh, I think I want to sell him, do it. If you're thinking, oh, I want to hold on to him, do it. You know what I mean? It's simple as that.
Yeah. Just make sure you've got the depth. If you're holding him or not holding him, like just work out what rounds you're going to have players and when you won't, because that will come into play for sure. The second row is a little bit up in the air. I think the only definitive guys are like, you know, that are highly rostered in Supercoach is someone like a Cam Murray or even a David Fifita. Now, the thing with Fifita is we don't know for sure if he's playing Origin.
Oh, he'll have to.
I think so, but we just don't know for sure. He's not an incumbent.
He's banging the door down more than anyone, I think. Like that hasn't, that's not in already the side last year. Like, has to.
Agree.
Be.
I agree with all of that, but I guess we just don't know for sure. I'm acting on the premise that he'll be on the bench at least. So
I'd bet my life that he'll play Origin in game one as well.
So let's say if he comes in, like, do you think he'll be on the bench? Like, he's not starting, right? I don't think he starts.
Well, he'd be great off the bench with impact. As he could start him as well. He's been very busy and has a high work rate at the moment for the Titans. Yep. I think they could do either. I guess it's whatever is the best makeup for the side. But regardless, you know, he'll be playing Origin.
So let's say he's playing and he's on the bench. Like, do you think then he is a hold?
Yeah, I think I'm going to hold him just because I think he's an awkward price. Like he's got a bit of value. He's up like above 800K.
He's expensive as, yeah.
Yeah. And he's one player that I just know that I'd be super scared to not have in my side any given week that he is playing. Whereas there's other blokes that I could sort of be like, oh, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like I'd probably be less scared to not have Harry and have someone else that can do that, whereas Fifita can really, he can put 150s on. Like he hasn't really even ripped and teared like he, you know, he can. He's been busy, but he's been setting up some nice tries and throwing some balls out to Cam Pereira. But you know, if he starts getting the sniff for wanting to go to dummy half and just score 3-4 tries in a game, which he can do if he wants to when he wants to be a flat track bully, yeah, that'd be really painful. So I don't think I can sell him unless it feels like I have to because of, you know, run really short elsewhere and don't want to sell anyone else. But I just can't. He's probably one guy on my side that I just don't want to sell. So I can't see it happening for my team.
I think I'm with you there. If I had him, I would definitely be getting, you know, holding him through this period. Like, even though he's going to be worth a lot, there's a good chance when you get rid of him, he could be nudging 900K. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Like, if you're struggling for team value and you need someone to sell because you can't cover the buys or you don't have enough cash, then yeah. And he'll probably come out the other end of the buys cheaper. But I'd love to have Fifita through that period. Like, I don't think he's going to play such massive minutes that he isn't backing up and he isn't able to, you know, even play 50 minutes off the bench for the Titans. He's still every chance of going 70 plus when he does that. There's multiple instances of, you know, he comes on as bench impact and scores a try. So that could easily be what he does over the Origin period as well. Now, asking for a friend, if you did not have Fifita, would you bring him in this week? Is it too late?
I think if you've counted how many round 13 players you've got and you've realised that after this week, you've still got 5 trades you can make. So even if you include this week, there's 7 trades before round 13 because we get 3 for a free boosty sort of trade without having to use a boost for round 13. So there's a lot of numbers to bring in. So unless you've only got like 5 round 13 guys, then maybe no, but I would say do it. Yeah, I especially the spot you're in a good spot. I'd do it.
Yeah, I just have to figure out which arm or which leg I got to sell to bring in Fifita.
Yeah, well, there's got to be someone in your side.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think the other name was Cam Murray. I think he's got to go eventually. Yeah. You might be able to hold him for another 2 weeks, hope he gets some attacking stats, gets a bit of value back. But yeah, round 13, he's off because he'll have his minutes managed for sure. Because we've got some history of that happening there. So look, Nathan Cleary, you said before you didn't think he was a trade out. You're going to hold him and ride that through. I guess, is that assuming, you know, Nico is also playing Origin? So you're going to hold both?
I'll probably hold both, yeah. It might get a little bit awkward if they're both by Origin and they're both getting rested at, you know, the same week and then you're going, oh, well, I'm going to have to cop an AE to cover that. That might get a little bit awkward and at that stage I might change my mind, but I really think that the long-term smart play is just to hold on to them because, yeah, I just think when you sell a guy like this, you go, oh, I'll get them back and because they've got 900K, you're like, oh, I'll just use 200K on that to upgrade this other guy over here to this bloke here. And then you just don't know how to get them back the week you need to. You just can't make it happen. So I think, yeah, for the long term, I'd rather cop an AE, maybe even 2 weeks over a buy period than to not have them when they are there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, I'm right now in the same boat. I'm going to hold, but if we do see Cleary and Nico selected to be the 7 and 6 for the Blues, and let's say one of them does miss the game afterwards, then yeah, if I'm in a position where I'm going to cop an AE, like a bad one,
yeah,
like there might be times where you, because of all the other players on bye and being rested from Origin, you might be scratching for 17 anyway. So you don't really need to worry about AE because you only have 17 fit players, if that makes sense. So you're going to get.
My thought is Freddie will pick Jerome for game one. And if the Blues lose game one, he'll swap Jerome to Hines. But in the past, you know, Freddie's been a little bit more wacky and kooky with his side in game one and then brought it back a little bit more conservative for game two and three. But I just get the vibe he'll stick with what he knows for now and then get creative with the Hines play game two, game three if we lose the first one. So yeah, I'm hoping the Blues win the first game, and then for the sake of super coaches, not for the Queenslanders, but all super coaches, we'll have Nico Hines in our side.
That's not a bad take. Look, I think, you know, as a Queenslander, that's probably the best case scenario. Like, we get him for super coach and he's not playing against Queensland. Yeah. So, yeah.
and us winning game one as well. Obviously, that's the Blues.
Yeah. And then Queensland can win games two and three, and we're sweet. Because surely, if you win game one and you lose game two, you're not switching it up for game three.
I've got a soft spot for Queensland after spending time at the Caxton. You guys go all right, so I don't hate Queenslanders anymore. Even at Origin, I love yous.
Love is love, hey? Love everyone.
That's right.
At 5'8", there's just Cam Munster. So is Munster a trade-out, or do you hold him?
Oh, I think as long as you've got one of Dill Bags or one of Cody, if you can and hold Munster as well, I'd hold him.
Yep.
You could potentially go, oh, look, I'll just get two of them and go really aggressive over the buy period, sell Munster to Cody or sell him to Dill Bags if you've only got one of those. And having two of them could be really, really juicy, I think. Depends on how hard you want to go. I went really hard last year over the buy period, sort of traded more than I probably should have, boosted when I wasn't going to. And I managed to get up as high as rank 21. And it sort of like surprised myself and a lot of people. But then I kind of ran out of trades and ways to bring a lot of these guns back in for the run home, which sort of was the death of me and why I only finished sort of 800th. But yeah, I don't mind if you want to make some aggressive moves. Getting both of them, I think, is a good thing to do. But yeah, just remember it's a marathon. You don't need to be in front by, you know, even round 19 or round 20 at the end. There's still another solid 7 weeks to chase those leaders down.
I think that's good advice. I reckon if you had, say, Munster and Dill Bags as a combo, provided Munster backs up to round 14, you're pretty sweet. Like, I don't think he would not play any of the other buy rounds that Dill Bags would miss. So that would be probably the ideal combo if you were going to hold Munster and try to survive through getting through the buys there.
And again, if he doesn't, I guess it sucks though if you've got Nico and Cleary as well. You can't take two AEs. Yeah, it's a lot. It's going to be an interesting period. I think it's going to be very tough for a lot of people, especially me. I'm very, very nervous about how I'm going to handle this period, but we'll see what happens. Last year, as I said, I went very aggressive and I want to try and not do that because of the head-to-head factor this year. So see what happens.
Absolutely. All right. So at the center wing, obviously there's so many options and I think it's probably easier to cover Origin guys, but I think a lot of us have Val, and that's one guy I think I could see myself trading out.
I sold him about 3 weeks ago. It was my first Origin player I started to let go of, and he did score that big 100 the week I sold him, but then he came out with a 30 the week after, which brought him back to his 60 average. So, yeah, I think he's got some good games in him. He's got a very nice draw the next two rounds. So if you haven't already sold him, I'd actually probably hold him until 13 because I think it's
Dragons and Tigers. Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty juicy, and that's the type of games I can see him doing well in. So I'd probably hold till 13, then move him on to a Maju, maybe a Miller if you don't have him, or there's a lot of other options. The Maju Miller guys won't back up and play 14 for you, so that's something you need to look at as well.
Yeah, the thing with like Cowboys Origin players is that because the Cowboys have a pretty good draw, they cover around 13 and 16. It means they have buys in other rounds. And so, and then throw in the fact that they have Melbourne in round 14 and then Bunnies in round 17. And they do get the Tigers in round 18 and they have a round 15 bye. So there's some pretty tough.
You could even go like Val to AJ. AJ's not that popular yet. I know he's a popular purchase this week, but he's got a B of like 67. He's playing the Tigers, which looks really attractive. But if you're selling Val for him, I think they'll match each other. So it's kind of just let Val do the job that you think AJ will do for you and then maybe move him on and closer to 13 to AJ.
Yep. I agree there. Now, the toughest position is going to be fullback because, again, Latrell seems to be the guy this year, right now.
Yeah.
And I think we're all pretty confident that he's going to be playing left center for the Blues. Yep. So assuming if he does back up, right, like how do you see yourself navigating that? I mean, I guess you don't have Trell.
Well, I don't have him. No, I don't. But I think that they'll put a bit of trust in that Blake Taff fella. He's, been there before and before. He's obviously not Latrell, plays a different sort of game, but they're in prime position, the Bunnies. They're doing really, really well. It's probably good for them to give him a bit of time off. I could get around selling him just because I think the fullback position would be very juicy to have two fullbacks playing over the bye periods, especially if we're going to be holding on to Nico and Cleary. I think they're the best two positions for Supercoach this year is halfback and fullback. So, yeah, I'm not just trying to make people sell Latrell because I don't have him. But that's just, yeah, genuinely, I probably would sell him and get him back for the run home.
I'm going to try Holt. And this is because round 14, they have the Titans. Round 15, they have the Dragons.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Round 17, they have the Cowboys. Round 18 is the Warriors. And then they have the bye in round 20. So they he will miss those two games there. And then, yeah, I guess Latrell's tough for post-Origin because they have the bye in round 26. So head-to-head grand finals, basically. So that makes all of the Bunnies players quite tough, you know, from basically round 19 onwards. If they play Origin, they'll miss 19 and 20 and then 26. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind. Like I said, I'm going to try hold because round 14, 15, and 17 are absolutely great matchups based on what we've seen so far, and 18 might also be a good matchup too.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably not that bad of a hold, thinking about it, because there are some good fullbacks that you can get and put them into centre wing. They don't have to be sitting in fullback for your position for your team. So, like, you could get Lockie Miller into your side, who's, you know, playing quite well and scoring well for Supercoach, chuck him in centre wing, and then you've still got two fullbacks.
Well, that was what I was going to come to. Let's say Reece Walsh doesn't play Origin, right?
Yeah.
So I think he would be a prime target because, like, they'll get Warriors in round 13, then 14 is the Sharks, 15 is the Knights. Broncos have the round 16 bye and the round 19 bye, but they'll play round 17 and 18 against the Titans and the Dolphins and then Bulldogs in round 20. So that's quite a...
13 and 14 sound hard to me, though, which is when people are probably going to have to pick him up because they want to wait and see whether he's going to get the call-up for Origin or not. The Warriors match-up, Warriors aren't going to have anyone missing. They're pretty gritty for the most part. They were, you know, neck and neck with Penrith, and they did leak a few points the week before, but other than that, they've had great defense most of the year. And the week after, I think you said, was the Sharks, which could be, you know, another real tough one there as well. See, I do own Walsh, and I've been very emotionally attached to holding on to him. I think it was a great sell a couple of weeks ago. Even still last week would have been a good sell, even when he missed that big score. Tough couple of matchups there. They play Penrith. They play Melbourne this week, which I think Melbourne's not as hard as Penrith defensively. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess he's getting down in price too. So, like, if you can get him for, you know, high fives, low sixes, then probably do it, eh? Yeah. But I just would be, you know, temper your expectation on him a little because he does have the 30s in the tougher matchups and he scores hundreds in the big, easier sort of matchup. So, yeah, it seems to be that's where he's at and there's no real middle ground. I have said, though, I think that this week against the Storm, he's going to find that middle ground and he'll score a 60 score. So no 30, no 100, but this week is the one week he'll score a 60.
I like it. Now, just I guess, you know, we all think Teddy's going to be there, so that's let's not talk about him. He's probably not a holdover Origin based on what we've seen. But let's say Turbo, because of all his injuries and how he's looked, he does not get selected for game one. Does that make him a must-have for that round?
Yeah, I'd buy Turbo as my second. So I'd have if Reece Walsh is my primary guy and either Freddie decides that Turbo's not match fit or Turbo decides that he's not match fit for game one, I'd be going him over anyone else. Even though Gutho's really attractive and has a good thing going at the moment, he's quite expensive. Turbo's going to be still very cheap. And yeah, that's where I'd be leaning towards that option. And Turbo not playing for the Blues, he's still going to then want to be putting his best foot forward for the games two and three as well.
Yep. And that's where, so they would play the Knights in round 13, have the round 14 bye. 15, they get the Dolphins. 16, if Turbo's still not in Origin for some reason, he'd have the Eels. Then 17 is the Storm, 18 is the Roosters. So it's not the easiest run little in the middle there. But
also keen on Drinkwater, though. I've got a big soft spot for him at times. Don't mind him as an option. There's a few, you know, I think that you could look at, as I said too, you could put Lockie Miller into your fullback spot if you don't want to sell any of your centre wingers. You could also bring Garrick into your fullback. There's a lot of different ways we could sort of manoeuvre that fullback thing. I think it's just sort of eyes up, and you need to wait and see what happens for 13 and then make our fullback's decisions as soon as we know what's going on.
And that's spot on advice there, and that's probably a good place for us to wrap that one up. Plenty of chat on Origin players, the holds, the trades. I think it ultimately comes down to your trade situation, right? If you've saved a bunch, then you have a lot more flexibility. You can afford to flick them and pick them back up later. If you've burnt from both ends like I have, then you will definitely need to hold as many of these guys as you can because you're just not going to be able to get them all back after Origin. So, yeah, All right. Any last words, Timmy, before I let you go for the day?
Magic Round's the best thing in the world. If you haven't been, book your tickets or at least write it in your diary to do it next year and thank me later.
Absolutely cannot. I mean, I said it last night in that podcast. It's basically almost at bucket list areas now. Like if you haven't been.
I'm never not going. I don't care what's on. You know what I mean? I don't care what is on. You know, drag me there. In any way, shape, or form, I'll be there.
All right. So come to Magic Round. As long as it's in Brisbane, you'll see Timmy, you'll see myself and plenty of other champs around. So get yourself there next year.
One last thing. As a Sydney boy, I really wanted it to come to Sydney Magic Round, but that can't happen. You guys definitely do it better than we could. Just with the, you know, the nightlife just so close and it's a great vibe up there. There was no DHs at all around, you know, so well done, footy fans.
Yeah, like I said, it's an absolute festival of footy. It's an absolute blast. So yeah, can't stress enough, get yourself there, experience it in person, and yeah, thank us later. Anyway, thanks for jumping on as always, Timmy, especially backing up off Magic Round. Good luck this week. You've had a monster last 2 weeks, I think, and you massively overtook me in one go. So yeah.
Thank you.
Hope to see you keep climbing into the top 1K, like you said.
Cheers, bro. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you guys again soon.